It's Thursday, July 10th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 69, Robo Cowboys, yeehaw! Runtime for this episode is 34 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that is not from space. My name is Jeremy.
Howdy, Space Cowboy.
I'm Tyler.
I'm dead last, and I'm Zach.
So what have you guys been up to? Anything?
Stuff and things.
You ziplined and stuff.
I did.
That's almost exciting.
That's not really video game related.
It's not.
So.
Okay.
Or also other stuff.
I unlocked all the ships in FTL, finally.
Oh, that's
congratulations.
Cool.
Congratulations.
So, and I've gotten all but one of the achievements. Well, all but two. One achievement I'm lacking is get to Sector 8 without buying anything. And the other achievement I'm lacking is beat the game on normal.
Why don't we start with FTL update then? I played one game as the NG Cruiser, never found a single goddamn weapon.
And then lost?
Yeah. I got to the boss, and I was like, ions, go, drones, I'm dead. I even beat its first form, actually. I was able to take shields down enough.
I feel like that first form is way easier than the other two. I used to think the second form was the hardest.
Well, I usually think the first is the hardest because it has the most DPS, but...
It's easiest if you can take out the missile launcher. If you can't, then it is the hardest.
Yeah, because it doesn't have a special thing,
That's true.
Other two forms do, so I feel like if you can just take out the cloaking or the missile launcher, you're set. The other two, though, those extra drone support things.
You don't even really need to take out the cloaking, just the missile launcher.
Yeah, the missile launcher is way more annoying than the cloaking.
Have you been playing any FTL, Zach?
No, I haven't.
Well, what have you been playing then? Because you said you wanted to complain.
I've been playing a lot of League, because I'm always playing League. Still ahead of Jeremy, even though you tried to catch up.
Briefly. I haven't been playing much this week. I played a Lee Sin game, and it worked, and I was happy.
And then, right as you reached my level of wins, I won a game.
Oh. Am I only one behind you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've also been playing a lot of Fire Emblem.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that last week, that you started.
Still having fun with it.
Have you kept to your rules, where you only get one restart?
Mm-hmm. I'm also being a lot more careful with my people, as a result.
Have any of them had their hands cut off in cantinas?
No.
Okay.
Lastly, I've been playing a lot of StarCraft 2, like replaying the campaign.
Are you doing it on hard or normal?
I'm just doing it on normal.
Okay.
I was starting to do it on hard at one point, but then was like, this is... kind of obnoxious, and I'm not really having as much fun as I would just playing the game.
You seem pretty far through it when I was at your place on Monday.
Yeah, I've been playing it most of the week, so I played a lot of it on Sunday, and I've been playing a bunch of it before you came over. The only problem I have with that game is the way the story goes. I could handle the MacGuffin crap in the first episode, or in the Terran one, that's fine. In Heart of the Swarm, they completely screwed up Kerrigan.
Yeah, that story is not very good.
Well, the worst part is... In the previous game, you know, she's a badass, cunning, ruthless, awesome character. In the second one, her entire motivation is go rescue Jim Raynor. And instead of doing it, you know, in a smart fashion, she's like, no, screw you guys. I'm going to go get reinfested and get the Zerg to save him. It's like, did you completely miss the point of the entire campaign we just went through?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And...
We can't just keep building these magic uninfest machines.
I mean, it's just obnoxious. I don't understand why they decided to go that route.
Do you know how much unobtainium these require?
And Gandalf isn't getting any younger.
Well, and you know, the only guy that was able to give us the missions to go get him, we had to kill at the end of the last game, so... Because we had to kill Tyke.
Anything else, Zach?
No, not this week.
That's kind of little. I haven't been playing much either, though.
It's a lot of big stuff. A lot of time-consuming stuff.
League of Legends, FTL, like I said, League of Legends, won a game on Lee Sin, that was fun. I got to kick people. And I started playing Crusader Kings 2, because Game of Thrones finished, and it has a sweet Game of Thrones mod.
What is that?
Crusader Kings is a dynasty simulator. You play as someone starting in the year 1066, usually. A duke, usually, although you can go higher, it's just the more you have to run, the harder the game is. And you have to get married so you can have a son, and you have to have a legal heir. And then when you die, you play as your heir. And then when he dies, you play as his heir.
That's neat.
Yeah. I kind of messed up my succession law, and I'm in a big civil war now. Because my inheritor was my younger brother, and my two sons inherited nearby counties. And they were under him, but they're not very happy being under him.
Well,
Dad
done.
Was so much cooler than you, Uncle.
My main Crusader Kings story is that my character's father died, and then my... brother, who is my second character's wife, had his son. and I became his guardian because she was my half-sister. And then my brother's wife seduced me, and we had two kids that my brother thought were his.
It sounds like an awesome game.
What? Is this available on Steam or something?
It is. It's like $40. I got it on sale a while ago.
So I'll probably hold off until it goes. Is this the one where your spy master can send you the message about how he was killing your spy master so that your spy master wouldn't assassinate you?
Yeah.
But you have to kill your spy master?
Yeah. And it's got a Game of Thrones mod that I installed but only looked at briefly. There was a little too much going on in it, and I'm like, I need to learn this game because it's kind of complicated. You can play as Daenerys, though.
Sweet. So you can sit across the shore and have dragons and not do anything?
Yep.
Awesome.
He also plays Aegon the Conqueror.
I don't know who that is.
He's the Targaryen who originally took over Westeros.
Oh, okay.
Or Robb Stark.
So when you play Robb Stark's campaign, do you choose the marry the goddamn person
you
promised to marry option?
You start before then.
Okay.
And what tripped me up is I played as Robb Stark. I'm like, okay, I need to get married because I need an heir. There are so many women because the mod is down to a T, has like every character who's in the nobility, no matter how minor. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I cannot sit through these potential wives. I need someone who's going to help me fight Joffrey. Oh man, I should have gotten engaged to Stannis's daughter.
Oh man.
That would have been...
How, no one knows about her though. I mean,
okay, I don't know how that would work. I tried to get engaged to Daenerys, but that didn't fly. That's clearly the correct option.
Clearly.
Well, yeah. Isn't she the one with the dragons, or am I getting people confused?
Yeah, she has the three dragons. She's also on the other side of the world. But
so?
Yeah, I could
dragons.
I could totally see Robb Daenerys shipping.
Yeah. No, I should have gone for Stannis' daughter though, because when you get married, you form an alliance until the wife or husband dies. So I'd have been allied with Stannis, and then we could just take King's Landing.
And it would be really easy.
Yeah.
And then you'd be king to the north and the southeast.
Or maybe one of Oberon's daughters. Spoiler, he has seven.
Oh, Oberyn.
Yeah.
It's a Y.
Okay.
Oberon is, I feel like I know that name from somewhere, but that's someone else.
Yeah, he's the king of the fairy.
Oh, yeah, that's where I know that from.
So in this Crusader Kings thing, is it actually medieval Europe?
Yeah,
the map?
The default one is medieval Europe, and all the characters have Wikipedia links to their
actual history.
I started as the Duke of Dublin, and I'm trying to take over Ireland. I married my second son to the Princess of England, so King William is my ally.
Sweet.
But he failed to take over Norway.
Oh.
So there's no, other than the Game of Thrones mod, there's not really any just generate random starting point?
No, it's Game of Thrones or history.
Huh, that seems odd.
I feel like you could pretty easily make it random. There's probably a mod that exists for it.
I would not be surprised. It's got a very large modding community.
Probably because it's easy to mod.
Yeah.
Thanks, programmers.
Well, or because people recognize that history is, even medieval European history, which is really screwed up, can get a little boring if you're running it the same way every single time.
Well, and there are, like, a bunch of expansions, and there's one that adds all of the Middle East, and they had to have an indulgence mechanic so that they didn't have just thousands of times the money that the Western people have.
Because they totally did back then.
Yeah, and they want to be historically accurate. It's pretty cool. It's pretty complicated, but I'm starting to get the hang of it.
I think I played the original game in this series a long time ago.
I have no idea how... I've never even heard of Crusader Kings 1, so it's quite possible. So anyway, that's what I've been playing. It's been pretty fun.
Say, speaking of Steam, Steam sale started today.
Oh, yeah. All of Starduck's stuff is on sale, if you're interested.
Who's Starduck?
You would probably be. They made Galciv, and that's Civ in space. You might be interested in that.
I'll just take a look at that. I haven't even opened my Civ.
As is Sin...
My Civ, my Steam. My Steam in a while.
As is Sins of a Solar Empire. But
yeah. That's like an RTS Civ in space.
I know what it is. It just makes me laugh.
By the time this episode airs, though, I think the sale is going to be over. So,
although it's pertinent information to us for now.
That is true. I posted a link on the
show hoping page. Game Dev Tycoon goes on sale because I want to play that.
I really want a sequel to the movies.
Speaking of which, you guys should pick up at least the original Fallout because I know Ed's going to call that whenever it gets back.
Oh, okay. Is that on sale?
Yeah, it's on
sale. I thought I had that on my wish list, but
it's that and the entire trilogy is actually on sale right now. So, speaking of Steam sale, I picked up Strike Vector.
What is that?
Do you like Free Space 2?
Zach's never heard of Free Space 2.
Oh, it's a space flight sim where you basically have dogfights in space, and it's cool. It was a really popular flight sim way back when, and it's still one of the most heavily played because there haven't been any good ones since then. Strike Vector, I think, sans uproot that, though, because not only is it like Free Space 2 and super fast-paced dogfighting action in space, your ship also transforms into a mobile suit.
Ah, yeah!
So it's Robotech?
You're basically piloting the Gundam Wing in space.
Oh, I think I heard about this, and I heard that there are difficulty curve problems with it.
A little bit, but you can basically just land on, like, the enemy capital ships and just start hacking away at it. And
oh, man, speaking of Gundam Wing, I forgot to tell a story. I might have told the story when Monday. So, I was super busy last week. Saturday was my dad's birthday, and Sunday was Father's Day. So Friday, I have to get Dad some presents. My dad likes to read, luckily. So I go to Barnes & Noble, hoping to find a hardcover of Game of Thrones, because he also likes Game of Thrones. So I'm looking. Barnes & Noble now sells action figures.
Okay.
They had a PlayArts Kai Green Ranger and Sailor Mars right next to each other.
Wow.
What?
If it had been Sailor Venus, I would have been f***. Because there's no way I couldn't have bought those. They also had a Cell and a Krillin and some Batmans.
Some Batmen.
Also, they didn't have prices on them. I thought of this mostly because that also includes right next to them were Gundam model kits.
Gotcha.
But now I kind of want a Sailor Venus and Green Ranger action figure so I can make them make out. Anyway.
What are you, 10?
So, yes.
More than twice that.
The other game
I can still ship Green Ranger X Sailor Venus.
Because that's how continuity
that would be a
works.
Lasting dynasty.
By the power of love, I Dragon Blast. I don't even know how that would work.
With the power of my love flute.
Dragon Ranger!
So, the other game I picked up is called DEF CON, which is a game set in, like, Cold War era 1983. You play a guy in a bunker trying to blow up all opposing nations without getting blown up yourself.
For some reason, that made me think of Papers, Please.
It
which has
a very similar aesthetic, actually.
Zach, are you familiar with Papers, Please?
Yeah, it's the Border Guard simulator.
Yes.
Okay. That, and like I said, I picked up the Fallout trilogy, and that's what I picked up on the Steam sale. Alex has given me a budget of $100, and I've blown a quarter of that on the first day. So,
man, I feel like that's more than I would want to spend, but I could see it getting out of hand if you
probably
didn't
have more than
I.
That's probably my gains for the next 2 years, though.
Okay.
So, in addition to that, I've been playing a ton of FTL. Some more Monochemia now that I'm done with all the other games I've been playing. I finish off Link to the Past, so.
Oh, what did you think of the end of that?
Pretty much what I've always thought at the end of that.
Okay.
It's a pretty good game. I still enjoy it. See the previous episode.
Okay.
Fans of how does Stan Lee introduce things? Hey,
Excelsior.
True believers.
Yeah.
True believers. That's
yeah.
See last episode, True Believers. I played something else. I haven't had a whole lot of time this week, but maybe some Mario Kart or something? I don't know.
Okay, with that out of the way then. TSM! TSM! TSM!
I'm still winning.
Yeah, you are. That's the story I wanted to get to. But first, TSM had a good week. Locodoco isn't the false prophet, unless it turns out he is.
They completely demolished Cloud9, but the way Cloud9's been playing kind of off.
They now have a
2-17
record against Cloud9.
Ooh.
They're working their way back up to 500. Maybe in another 5 years, they'll make it.
500?
That's when you're going even, in sports.
Oh, okay. 0.5?
Yeah.
Why would you call that 500?
I don't know.
Because
my
it's 0.500.
I think it's the idea is that there are three significant figures and...
But there totally aren't. You just make those up as you go.
I think the reason is I think it comes from baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
but that's
baseball
stupid there too.
Batting averages are done in three digits.
But it's point whatever because it's a percentage.
Yeah, but people are dumb and they watch the spurts.
and
they
most
don't
people
realize.
Don't. Care to the level you are, you do, apparently.
Nah, most people can't be bothered to care about things, and that's why life sucks.
Well, also, it'd be a lot more cumbersome if you had to say, also, kind of, you know, degrading, I suppose, in a way, when you have to say, he's hitting .420, when that is a very, very good thing.
Well, you could say
so he's hitting his 420, he's hitting 420.
Or you could say he's hit 42%. A pitch is thrown at him.
He must play for the Rockies.
No, see, the Rockies hit like 25%. Remember, you're getting it wrong.
So you could just give him a percentage.
I missed my joke, and I can't think of any baseball team in Seattle. Man.
The Mariners?
Or the Mariners. My joke is complete.
Oh.
I don't get it.
I get it. I get it.
You got it the first time.
I did?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you did.
I don't think I did.
The 420?
Yeah, if he's hitting
four. Oh. I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we didn't get it.
Yeah, no, I didn't get it.
I thought you did that on purpose.
Nope.
He just needs to start hitting 690 and meet some winning. Okay, so anyway, yeah, LCS.
69%
we're still
of the
doing
time,
our fantasy league.
Of the time.
My team totally botched all the bombs.
Although, didn't your team play your team this
week? Yeah,
but
my real team totally got demolished by my robot team.
I lost to Tyler by 0.38.
We had some pretty bad scores on both sides, though. So
if I had played Wild Turtle, I would have crushed you.
Also,
but you didn't.
One of his players had a bye, and so got no points for one of their games.
So you got lucky. But that's sometimes what it takes to win in fantasy leagues.
Ackerman suck less next time.
Don't worry,
spoilers,
I'm gonna come back.
He didn't.
Oh.
They played today, NTA. I think he got as many points today as he got last week, but
damn
no
it.
More.
I forgot to adjust my team.
Were they playing LMQ? No.
No, they played CLG. Yeah, you can't have more than two of any player in a position. Just like you can't have more than two characters in Wild Guns.
That is a transition. That just happened there.
Well done.
Thank you. Wild Guns was our assignment this week, thanks to Tyler.
Yes, you're welcome. It's the first decent game I've chosen in, like,
ever
months. I chose some near the beginning that were not... I chose Gradius.
Yeah. Do you know why Metroid is our most listened to podcast by such a huge margin?
No.
Have you looked at our page metrics?
Not recently.
That one article you did on over-the-counter culture has nearly 2,000 views. Then is the Metroid episode at about 200. And then is ActRaiser at like 56.
Although those are just our page views. If you actually look at the download metrics and archive.
Okay.
Our most recent episode had like 1,500 downloads.
That seems unlikely. If you're one of the 1,500 people listening, just email us.
Or if
tell us we're cool bros.
If you're a bot crawling the internet, let us know.
Send us the spam. So wait, you already did.
We need this for our ability to improve the podcast.
Yes.
Like Ranger Danger said, getting email is cool.
It is. I should like to listen to their show.
So should I.
It's good. I enjoy listening to it.
So, Wild Guns. It's a game set in future
past
space.
Western?
It's set in Trigun. That's it.
Yes. That's
more robots than in Trigun.
Yeah, there are a fair amount of robots in Trigun.
Not this level.
They're robots in disguise.
They're Transformers?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good transition from Ranger Danger, because Johnny Young Bush, the second Black Ranger, is the voice actor for Vash the Stampede.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Now you do. G.I. Joe! Or, what?
That should really be a game we could play, because then Jeremy could spend all podcasts doing that.
The second G.I. Joe game for the NES was my favorite game as a child.
Really?
Well, second to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But I really liked it.
It's a pretty good game, actually.
Snake Eyes was awesome. Duke was okay, despite not having a special power. Anyway, Wild Guns. Try 3. Wild Guns is like the typical arcade shooter where enemies are popping up on the screen and you have to shoot them. But it's not an arcade! And it's not a light gun game! And you can control your character and dodge from side to side instead of standing on a pedal to take cover or not.
Well, when the things popped up, you know, the intro screen, I thought it was going to be like Time Crisis or something, where it was a button is pressed, you're in cover. If you don't press it, or the other way around, however the hell
you know, Chrono Trigger and Time Crisis should really trade names.
Yeah, probably. But I thought it was going to be one of those, you know, rail shooter pop out of cover, duck into cover, reload, that whole shebang, and it's not. It's better than that.
You don't have to reload.
Yeah.
No. You have limited control over where you move. You move the D-pad, I guess, actually. I think we all use control sticks.
No, I use the D-pad.
Oh, okay. I use the control stick.
I think I use the control stick on the GameCube controller, but when we were over here, just because of positioning.
Oh, the D-pad on the SNES controller. On that controller is actually really good, but...
On the GameCube?
No, the Wii Virtual Console controller.
It is.
As a good D-pad. If you're not shooting, you move around and aim at the same time, which can be awkward to get the reticle from one side of the screen to the other.
But that's okay, because the only way you really aim is by holding down the fire button and then moving the reticle
around.
And
watching where the shots go.
And you shoot enemies, you dodge their projectiles. Like most arcade shooters, you can shoot projectiles out of the air while they're coming at
you. Can you?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's just a lot easier to move sometimes, because your reticle's on the other side of the screen and you can't move it very fast.
Because one unique thing this game has from those sorts of games is a jump button, and while you're jumping, you're invincible. It also, while you're shooting, you can jump to the side and do a roll dodge.
Technically, you're not invincible while jumping, it's just that most things hit the ground and you're not on the ground while
jumping. You can jump through missiles that are coming from the sky.
Yeah, they only impact on the ground, though. There are some things that can hit you midair, but...
The thing I thought was very, very weird about this whole deal is because it's a one-hit kill.
Yep. Although you have 5 hits per level, basically. Although you don't get more after you beat a level. So you start with 3 lives, and a single hit, as Zach mentioned, kills you. After you get killed 3 times, you go back to a game over screen, and all progress you've made thus far, if you've beaten an entire level, stays. So it's not the worst game over.
Oh, also, one other mechanic this game has that's sort of unique is if you keep mashing the fire button, you get a lasso, which will stun enemies.
A space lasso.
Which is a little obnoxious. I really wish that was mapped to a different button.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, especially since you have a free button.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's...
Actually, you have three free buttons.
Yeah, because the shoulder buttons existed in this game, too.
Ah, yes.
So, you get special power-ups in the variety, or I guess you get extra weapon power-ups in the variety of machine gun, grenade launcher, and shotgun. You really want to tap the fire button for the shotgun and the grenade launcher, though, but tapping the fire button is what causes you to throw the lasso.
Well, especially when things get hectic, and you're like, okay, shoot him, and then quick tap to shoot another guy. But no, you without your lasso. It's like, oh, crap.
I guess they're going to stun that guy.
you're stuck while you're doing the lasso. You can't jump.
That said, once you get used to it, that rarely happened to me, but the first couple of times I tried to play the game, that was happening all the time. So the story of the game is True Grit in Space!
Like all good stories.
Also with Clint Eastwood replacing John Wayne.
Which is kind of a side grade.
And Bonnie being named Annie. And
being way hotter.
And more badass.
And also legal age. And
blonder.
And blonder, yes. And less bookish and more having a gun. So
you can totally pick which one.
Also,
you want to
they're robot mercenaries that killed her dad instead of assholes.
Also, you can change the color of your character because this game was.
But
made
you can't
by...
be play a black person because racism.
Yeah.
Space racism.
Spacism.
Sure. Like Mega Man, this game has like a introductory level, and once you beat it, you can choose from four more levels.
Unlike Mega Man, you don't get anything from beating the levels except more points.
Yeah, there's not like a secret weapon at the end, and all the levels are basically the same. Visually, they're different, but gameplay-wise, you shoot dudes.
You dodge what is coming at you.
Whereas Mega Man, some levels are very platformy, some levels are more enemy-based, some levels have annoying ice mechanics. Here, there's no real reason to choose other than I don't like this one today. Oh, what we didn't mention is you also have a special grenade attack that kills all the enemies
on
screen.
Yeah, it does heavy damage to bosses, and if you're quick enough and standing on dynamite, you can throw it back.
Yeah.
Which we just found out.
And also the special attack gives you invincibility frames as well while you're doing it.
And destroys all attacks on screen, so even if it didn't do that, you're invincible. Oh yeah, you start with three of them, and you can carry up to five. Unfortunately, when they drop is essentially random. Enemies occasionally drop what are essentially point power-ups, and points are good for the purpose of extra lives. Every 100,000 you get some. Although game overs are such a slap on the wrist that it doesn't really matter. I guess they're useful if you're trying to beat a single level and manage to get that many points in one level, but...
I think you lose your score on a game over.
Yes, you do.
Which isn't a big deal, but if you're playing for score, you know, like some sort of arcade man's...
Yeah, when you're playing like we were and just for...
Completion?
For completion or for fun, we don't usually care. I mean, we weren't fighting over score power-ups or power-ups in general. We were just...
Usually
getting ourselves confused by whose reticle was what, but...
One odd thing about this game is the levels end on a timer. You just have to survive for 60 minutes.
Except for
and
the ones
fight
with
a boss.
60 minutes, damn, that's
or 60
a lot
seconds.
Less.
You know what
but,
I mean.
They're not all 60 seconds. Some of them start at 30, some of them start at 20. But by and large, you just have most of the things where you're just fighting hordes of mooks. You just
trying to get the combo multiplier to get a higher combo to get more points in the time frame.
Yeah, we also found out that there's a combo multiplier, I find this out accidentally, where if you just stand there shooting the entire time and don't move from the spot you're standing, you get extra points each additional kill you score, which incentivizes just shooting projectiles out of the air as opposed to actually
dodging.
Although I find the dodging way more fun and less
it's
likely to
It's very frenetic
get a
kill. And cool. And you can double jump.
Yeah, this game looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, not the best Super Nintendo game, but it certainly shows up what the system can do and looks way better than, say, Mario RPG.
Especially when you bean somebody with your get back stick.
It also, yes.
Yeah, occasionally melee enemies very rarely will come up and you just have to tap the attack button to baseball bat them into oblivion.
It's hilarious. Additionally, the game has pretty decent music. It's not the best score I've ever heard. But...
No, but again, it shows off the Super Nintendo can have decent music.
It does fit the game, though.
Yeah, it has a vaguely Western feel, and it's definitely action-y music, so.
It feels kind of like that space... futuristic western-y feel. It's hard for me to describe, but it felt
Cowboy
like
Cowboy Bebop? Because that's Cowboy Bebop.
It felt like it fit perfectly in the game, so...
I would like to point out really quickly that this game is brought to you by the people who made Harvest Moon, so...
For a company that doesn't really do action, they did a pretty good job, I would say.
I mean, it's okay. I don't feel like we're missing out that we don't have a sequel to this game, but at the same time, it was a pretty fun assignment. It didn't hurt me to play it.
I feel like if you, like, made this a run-and-gun platformer, that would actually be pretty neat. I would play that game.
Yeah, but you'd have to change the gameplay.
A little bit, but...
So you think the setting is cool?
I think you could also have the enemies on different planes from you. It would be... I'm not sure how I would implement that. I would have to play around with that idea a bit.
I'm with Tyler. I'd play it.
But Zach and I think, also had more fun with this game than you did.
Like,
so.
I definitely had fun. It was a good thing to do while listening to podcasts.
Clearly, you know, the reason me and Tyler had more fun with it?
We were playing as Annie.
Annie.
Yeah.
Boobs.
Okay. I could type that into the internet and have my...
I totally want the two characters to have different.
Yeah, there's
skills.
No differentiation between Clint and Annie other than how they look, which is a little
gender equality is important, Tyler.
I know, but
a little bit of different dial to them, because other than that, it's there's no reason to care who you play.
Like, just have their guns make different noises? Something? But
the reticles look different?
Yeah, that's a big problem when playing multiplayer, actually. So,
to be fair, both of you were playing Annie when you played multiplayer.
We're playing different colors of Annie.
Yeah, your reticle was, like,
slightly grayish,
gray-black,
and yours
mine
was brown.
Gray-blue.
So this game, as we've alluded to a couple times, has co-op, which makes it a lot more fun, like most co-op games. It does have the problem of making the game way easier. We very nearly beat it playing it for like half an hour on co-op, and I played it for like 2 hours throughout the week and never beat anything other than the intro level.
Well, when somebody can stun the boss and the other one can just wail on them.
Stun locking the enemies helps. Also, I'm pretty decent at this game, which
helps.
That's true. So.
I felt I was getting
Zach
better as we were going on.
Zach definitely caught up towards the end.
It's a lot of fun, in my opinion.
This game has, I mean, I feel the same way about a lot of Genesis games we played. It does kind of have Genesis game syndrome, even though it's on the Super Nintendo. There's a lot going on the screen. It's hard to keep track of anything.
What's really, really pretty.
What saves it is that because it's single hit, you don't really need better hit feedback because you die. You know you got hit, and dodging is really forgiving. If you pay attention to where things are going to hit, you can dodge almost anything.
I never really felt like, outside the first time when the first melee guy showed up and killed me, that anything that I died was because the game was cheating.
Well, and while you're firing, your reticle is the same color as reticles that are targeting you, which is a little confusing.
To be fair, I feel like you mostly die when you tunnel in on attacking things because that's what's fun.
I think that is definitely the case. I think if you just don't focus on any one element of the game, you do all right. But I feel the same way about like Gunstar Heroes. I feel like it suffers from very similar problems.
For whatever reason, this one seems more forgiving than Gunstar. Maybe it is the hit feedback.
I agree it's probably more forgiving. And I think Gunstar suffers from it worse because I think there's slightly more on screen. But
I feel like in Gunstar, I could die and not notice.
Fair enough.
Whereas that's definitely not the case here.
Yeah, this definitely cuts off your progress and says, hey, you died. You should stop that. So,
when you die in this game, you know it.
Yeah, you have a nice death animation, like big girly scream.
I would like to also point out that when you get a game over, the screen turns sepia tone. And it's like, this is a snapshot of some people who died in space.
As we said, game overs are sort of a slap on the wrist. You just lose your progress in the level you're currently on. If you wait too long without hitting continue, you will go to the start screen and have to start all over again, which kind of sucks, but...
I really feel like this was intended to be an arcade, or at least, like, emulate the arcade experience.
I think it was an attempt to take an arcade genre that was established, the point-gun-at game and shoot game, and try to make it more console-like. We were sort of at the tail end of that with the Super Nintendo. People sort of knew what console games were and what they needed to be relative to arcade games, but something still screwed up, like Cybernator was way too quarter-sucky, like we talked about. And I think this was an attempt to say, okay, this is what you need to be a successful console game. Why don't we just apply it to this genre? And I feel like there's a reason that we didn't get more of these games, but at the same time, this works relatively well.
I feel like, well, I can definitely see why we didn't get more of the games in this genre, but, like, 2D fighters started out as quarter-suckers, and they aren't anymore, so. Although most 2D fighters actually still show up in arcades, so never mind.
I do want to say one more thing about the two-player. Is that if one player game overs,
that is a critical
player
flaw.
Keeps going and there's no way, it doesn't appear that there's any way to get that first player back
without dying
without
yourself.
Game overing yourself. So you kind of have to restart both players at the same time, which is fine if both people are about the same skill level and therefore going to die about the same amount of time. But if you have one player who, you know, when we first saw it, Jeremy got a couple of
stupid deaths.
didn't do very well. And Tyler had, what, like three lives left?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And Jeremy game overed out. So we're sitting there. We thought
going
first
to the
player
next
come
level.
Back at the next level or something.
I feel like that would have been a simple thing to add to make the multiplayer experience that much better, but it's already pretty good.
I mean, even if it was just stealing a life, like in some of the other ones.
Multiplayer already feels a little tacked on, and that's a little insulting because it works fine, it plays well, but it doesn't feel balanced from a multiplayer.
No,
like I said, it's way
not.
Easier. And this is a game that if you were any good of it, you could beat it in an afternoon.
Yeah, I beat this game last night in about an hour, just sitting and playing it.
So it's difficult for me to recommend it as a full price game, but since it's now $8 on the virtual console, or $7 I think, actually. I can never remember if SNES games are $8 or $7.
I think they're seven.
Okay.
But I don't know.
But anyway, it's not bad.
I have a lot of fun with it, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think I have to agree that I can't recommend paying $7 for it.
Are you going to play it again? I mean, you played it with us to play co-op right before a podcast, but do you see yourself ever going back to it?
That's a good question. I don't know. I played this game a lot when I was like 15 or so, but...
I'd probably play it more if I had somebody that would play it with me, but
yeah,
I don't, so...
That's a good point. As a co-op game, I might do it on occasion, but I have a hard time seeing me ever doing it solo again.
Yeah, and I really see myself maybe playing it with someone once, but once I beat it...
That's kind of it.
Yeah, I think I like the game least of all of us, and I thought it was fine. I thought it was an okay waste of time, and that's what games are, right?
Yeah.
But I'd rather play Crusader Kings or Link to the Past.
I think I agree that I can't recommend $7 for this game, especially after having gotten Vector Strike for $5. Guys, play Vector Strike.
If you like the setting a lot and you like this type of game, of course, I would say the game is probably pretty good. I mean, I would recommend it to someone who I knew liked these kinds of games, but I would have to kind of agree with you guys. I think it's mainly a $5 thing, not really any more than that.
Even with what you're saying, I think I would say, hey, watch Trigun, or read this Deadlands novel, rather than...
I do like Western mashups, and this definitely hits a sweet spot.
Or watch Firefly.
I want to play another Deadlands game, because I want Cody to die some more.
You're mean. Well, this one was a little short, but it's a short game, so final thoughts, people. Like I said, it's okay, not great, don't regret playing it, glad to cross it off the virtual console list, but... It wasn't a chore.
It's fun for the same effect. Build yourself an arcade cabinet and just play Time Crisis.
I actually like this game more than I like playing Time Crisis in the arcade.
Oh, really? Even with the haptic feedback guns?
I feel like...
Give this game a haptic feedback gun, it would be awesome.
I feel like you're constantly shooting.
Yeah,
right?
That wouldn't really work. And
what
I
do you think
it's purposely designed
crisis.
For.
But I really enjoyed this game. I may be playing it some more.
It is a good, pretty quick game.
But other than that, I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. It's better than a lot of games we played on this podcast.
It's also worse than a lot of games, I think. Well, maybe not a lot of games. It's definitely better than more than it's worse than.
On your sliding scale, I think it sits above a 5. By the way, people...
Almost certainly.
Ransom Jeremy for that damn ratings column.
You can read it.
I know.
I update it every week with the next game.
I would personally put it about a 7.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'd stick it.
Good and solid. Above the average... But not up to
I mean, it's
rate.
Not linked I mean, to the past.
I would probably say 6 and then look at what I have at 6 and be like, oh, it's better than that. It's better than that. It's better than that. It would end up at 7.
You've had Super Mario Brothers at 6 the last couple of times, so.
Yeah, I want it down to 5 and it's never going to happen. It's too good. Anyway, so Zach, what are we playing next time?
Well, I was thinking I would do a game I really, really enjoy, but I feel as though I have to do something that isn't good.
Why?
Or probably won't
be
good.
Oh, Donkey Kong Jr. Math?
No, not Donkey Kong. And because, as Jeremy pointed out, we haven't ever done anything on the Neo Geo, we're going to go with Shock Troopers.
Oh,
that
okay.
Sounds generic and shocking.
And trooping.
Man, maybe there'll be Cub Scouts in it. So next time on Last Time, Shock Troopers. It's shocking. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.